This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code EAST. That's code EAST. And again, the trial is free. Only when you actually want to subscribe and go for the full service will the code take effect and you'll get 10% off.
Cool. Welcome to East Meets West, episode 190. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
Trying to step on me during the intro there, Roger.
Sorry.
What's that about? Joining us today is good friend Scott Johnson from Frog Pants Studios. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, Tom and Roger? It's great to be with you guys. I've been I haven't been on this show since before it was part of the Twit Network, so this is a an awesome opportunity to hang out with you guys.
That's
again.
That's true. You and Patrick Beja were sort of the pioneers of East Meets West on Twit when we did that special edition a long time ago before we went regular. So welcome back. And thanks for giving up the Golden Globes to be with us.
Well, to be honest, I kind of forgot they were tonight. I'm not going to lie. I thought they were a different night. So as much as I love
Ricky
Gervais.
So you have to go now? Okay, we understand.
Yeah, now that you mention it. No, I'm actually, I'd prefer to be here, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of award shows. I always like kind of the summation of awards later, but I'm not really into the whole event.
Are you into the ceremony or what about the little comedic or sketch bits that they often throw in for entertainment value?
They're sometimes okay. Like if you're talking about the Oscars, they're always bad. I think those are always kind of terrible. I thought the Emmys this year had some moments that were pretty good. I felt like that was a little more of a nod and a wink to people like me. But I feel like every time I watch the Oscars, there's hardly any funny. And by the time they're at 3.5 hours and still trying to be funny, I'm totally tuned out. I'm done with those shows.
I like to know that who won the awards. I like that sort of like trying to predict what's going to happen and then and then you make your guesses and then they unveil it. And that's why my favorite award show ever was the year of the writer's strike when they did the Golden Globes live on Larry King and people just walked up and said, here's the nominees and here's who won.
Yeah,
that's the way it should be.
Well, that got right to brass tacks, right? They're not messing around. It's like here's everyone's got their office pool going. You know what you got $10 on. I just want to know if I won or not. I'm not that interested in all the milieu of the jokey forced humor and all that other garbage. And I just kind of want to know who won. All that being said, I'm sure Ricky Gervais will do a great job today. I'm a huge fan. So excited about what he'll do or bring to it.
You mean his dry British humor?
Sure. There's nothing better than a dry Brit.
Ah, yes. I like to order a dry Brit whenever I head out to the pub.
That's right.
So what the one thing I do like about the Golden Globes in concept anyway is the fact that they bring TV and film together, right? I mean, that is the great divide that separates our society is, you know, TV stars, film stars. Every once in a while someone reaches across the aisle, but in the Golden Globes, they all sit down right next to each other.
Well, there was a time where I used to think there's not an award show that really appeals to my sensibilities. And I always thought, well, where can I find a place to give me the best top 10 and the best top 3 and the best movie combined with the best album of the year and all these other things? And I realized that's what the internet's for. So I kind of get that already. Everybody's got a top 10 list and nothing's stopping anyone from doing it. The idea of a definitive awards ceremony to me, the perfect one for me is one that's less about pomp and circumstance and all that. To me, it's about, you know, you can still have these categories, still make it in film and in TV and in music and all these other things, but present it in a way that isn't so cloying and so old school Hollywood and so much red carpet garbage and all that stuff. And none of that interests me at this point in my life.
I don't know. I think they should really just give them out the next day's papers headlines. Like, this is who won, because honestly, I'm with Scott. Most of these award shows are dull, boring, and long. It's nothing more like this. There's nothing more intrinsically irritating for me than a bunch of people in a similar, basically in the same industry, handing out awards to each other. It's self-congratulatory. It's very, I don't want to say smug, but it's like, I don't care. I mean, unless it's like something like the People's Choice where people say, yeah, this is who I want. You know, this is these are the people who watch your movies. These are the people who buy the DVDs, the merchandise, you know, what have you, the DVD box set, stuff like that. You know, I don't know. I think any award tends to kind of fall along those lines, though, especially entertainment awards, the Grammys, stuff like that. It's just, don't care.
Well, so does it matter how we present the awards, or is it the fact that we have awards that bothers folks? I mean, is there a way to do an awards show like this that you would find acceptable and be more fun? Or is it like, you know what, I don't really care. Like Scott's saying, I want to read a top 10 list from somebody I trust and look at it and that's fine. But I don't need an awards show.
It should be a 3-minute bit on like the news, like the evening news at the end, right after the water skiing squirrel.
I'll give them or skateboarding dog. I'll take either. But I'll give you this. I think the idea of doing a presentation that's maybe a little longer form is okay with me. I just want them to get to the business at hand. I want them just to say, all right, first category, this. Here's who's up for it. Show a little clip of each performance, and the winner is blah. And he runs up there in his sweatsuit or whatever and takes the award and goes back. I kind of like the combination of quick summation kind of matched with a little bit of presentation. I just I'm just not interested in like celebrity worship and jokes about somebody in the audience and, oh, Brad Pitt, you and your Jennifer Aniston thing, hardy har ho ho. That kind of stuff I'm just have zero interest in. I don't care about that.
You know, speaking
of Jennifer Aniston, Scott, would you like the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards to be presented in Smell-O-Vision?
No, dude, the heat I got for that. Just so the audience knows and there's no confusion, I have this thing where I can tell what actors or actresses, mostly actresses, have really bad breath. And all I have to do is watch them in a movie or a TV show or something. And I say, yep, they've got like sour milk breath. And Jennifer Aniston, this is a personal attack on her personally. I don't even know if it's true. I'm just saying I get a sense that she's got like bad, you know, way over the expiration date, milk breath. Yeah. And so, and Tommy hit on an interesting point. When I watch these shows and I do actually get around to seeing the Golden Globes or the Oscars or something, that's what I think about the whole time. I'm not even paying attention to that guy's wearing a suit designed by so-and-so. I'm thinking that guy's got a zit on his lip and probably doesn't know it. Or that guy's still got food on his shirt. Or, you know, that's what blows me away at these things is how many of these little nitpicky things I can find. And to me, that's more like a little meta game I can play during the whole thing. And it kind of keeps me there till best director, best picture.
You mean, we used to do that. We'd go through either a movie or a TV show and say who's had what work done, you know, who's had the liposuction, who's had the Botox, who's had the collagen, who's had the hair implants. Yeah. My friends used to do that all the time, especially since they used to work around Hollywood. You know, you go into a Starbucks and you stand in line and you just kind of point out people. It's like, well, yeah, his hair plugs. He's, you know, she's had a facelift, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of funny. It's almost like a very passive aggressive way of deconstructing people.
Yeah, no, maybe it's a bad thing because we're a bunch of postmodern, ironic, you know, jerks who just look at everything and look for the worst or look for the wrinkles. And maybe that says something about my generation, or maybe it says something just about the state of things, the oversaturation of information and images and visuals and sounds. And we've come down to this thing where like, well, she is fat and he's got a missing tooth and that guy's not funny. And
we've come off as superficial.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know what they should do? They should do award shows, especially ones where there's a good category of nominees, like they do on talent shows. You know, you basically get the nominees and then they have the act off, or they have they have something there so people can like do the final vote. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. If you or
so
a fight,
you're saying make it more like a game
fight.
Show.
Yeah, make like the, you know, the most dramatic moment and then haul up all the nominees and give them like, you know, a stage actor to work with, and then they, you know, crank out the tears or you know,
we'll find out who the audience voted best picture after the break.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, that's a
moneymaker right there.
If you're gonna have these guys compete for their films or whatever it is, like so let's say best screenplay, Quentin Tarantino, Neil Blomkamp of District 9. Let's have those two fight it out in some kind of ring. And even if that's not, you made the best movie, it's
American Gladiator style with pugil sticks. Yeah. And
Yeah, great big, whatever those Q-tip things. Is that what those are called?
No. They would basically, it would be kind of a Jeopardy style show, or a $1,000 pyramid or $10,000 pyramid, where you basically have to, as quickly as you can, answer all these movie buff questions.
Ooh, yeah. Like, okay, you want to be called best director, you better know the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would totally be cool.
That would be awesome. I'd totally watch that.
Yeah, that's my point. Is this kind of stuff totally into? I would watch this. I think people would line up. And there's a generation of people who just have no interest in the traditional Hollywoody garbage that would just show up physically there if we could get tickets to see something like that. That's way more interesting to me.
Yeah, and I think what we're circling around here is we want to be entertained, because I was actually going to mention earlier, one thing I do like about watching awards show when they're about film is seeing the clips from all the different films. That's the part that's fun. I actually always like the obituary section where they show all the people who died in the past year, not because I'm morbid, but because they always show clips from all of these old movies. And I'm like, oh, right, I totally forgot about that. Or that's a cool, oh, I didn't realize that's who that was, whatever. So it's all about the entertainment. And the awards part is kind of the boring part. So do we even need, I mean, Jub 58 in the chat room was like, how about just no award shows? Do we even need, why do we have award shows?
Ooh, that's a question.
Because it's a way for an industry to kind of congratulate itself on doing an amazing
and
job.
Every industry does it. It's not just Hollywood. I mean,
yeah,
any industry I've ever been a part of has some crazy, like, you know, the advertising awards or the programming awards, or it's a human nature to want to like give out awards for some reason.
I think it's also a way for people to measure up. It's kind of like, you know, when you're kids with a sibling and your parents pull out the ruler and the a pencil and they start measuring you. It's like, who's taller, who's wider,
yeah,
who got better grades.
It's a measuring stick, right?
Well, now that I think about it, I mean, are the streamies, are we the web generation just feeding into that now with the streaming
totally
thing?
And, yeah, we've had lots of different competitors like the webbies and the bloggies, and now the streamies trying to fill that void that we had on the web.
Yeah,
world
because it was so desperately needing to be filled.
I am a member of the International Academy of Web Television.
If you are voting for the streamies, Texel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, but that's the point, is in a way, we all want to be all edgy and web, and we're web, man. We're not interested in this traditional media. This stuff's garbage. It's all dying. But the minute we get wind of an idea of how we can celebrate in a totally same way as everybody else does, we do it. And you know, we say, we don't need the, you know, we're not interested in winning awards, but
everyone's interested in winning because it's,
yeah, I think it's a human nature thing.
It's the human desire to be recognized for a body of work or a skill set or, you know, a lifetime's worth of contribution where, you know, you know, everyone might not agree, but at least you have some sort of officiating, you know, plaque or statuette or something that says, you know, Tom Merritt, you've been a good humanitarian and, you know, web, blah, blah, blah. Here's your, you know, token $50 piece of, you know, plastic and gold paint.
Well, and Web 5603 pointed out it's a business and this is a marketing thing. You know, this is a great way for the people who win to the awards to go out and say, hey, you know, we've won X, Y, and Z award. And you know what? People don't even know what half these awards are a lot of the times. You see the car commercials or software commercials and like, you know, voted with these 5 awards and it doesn't matter. You're like, oh, wow. Yeah, okay. They won a lot of awards. It must be a decent product that they're selling there.
Yeah, it's a bit like...
What if you actually won an award for the most defects?
Well, I could name a few that I would recommend, but
that's the Darwin Awards, right?
Oh, you know, sort of. But in a way, isn't this method of applying awards to certain categories and things? It's kind of we can crowdsource that now. We can go to Yelp, although I know there's issues with Yelp. But let's say I want to go to that restaurant. I go to Yelp and say, oh, everyone hated it. We're not going there. Everyone's getting food poisoning at that restaurant. Well, in the old days and even today, these kind of institutions don't have a way to crowdsource that stuff. They don't have a way to democratically say, all right, well, everyone really liked Avatar, so that's just the clear winner. It should win Best Picture this year. Instead, they have to go to these, you know, select Academy members who've been doing this their whole lives or whatever, and they all vote. And it's kind of that old way of doing things. Nielsen families to get ratings on TV. Well, now I can actually see traffic on shows, how many times somebody downloads one. Way more interesting and accurate than any kind of Nielsen data. So it's like that to me. They don't have a way to crowdsource these awards. And I think that they probably will one day. There'll be a day when this is all done that way and we're not relying on the opinions of, you know. I actually think this is how the MPAA should go. Instead of them, you know, this group of random 8 anonymous people that saw the movie giving it a rated R, I would like to see what the voting movie-going public would call it.
Although there is, you know, there's... Yeah, there's an argument to be made that sometimes it's better to have an expert panel tell you what's good than to have the popular vote tell you what's good. But we've got to take a break before we get into discussing that. So Roger, go ahead, and then we'll ask everybody who they're wearing.
Okay, all right. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to make a high-quality website or blog. With forms, photo galleries, pretty much anything you can think of, it's all done with an easy-to-use interface optimized so that it doesn't matter if you're a web aficionado or a beginner, you can actually create a pretty awesome website. You can customize the site perfectly to your taste so that in no time you'll have a site that you can not only, you know, send people to, but you can also have your blog, pictures, whatever. And you can also get real-time trafficking so you can see who's watching what on your site and how many people are coming to your site. And if you already have an existing blog or website, you can actually easily import it with the Squarespace tool. So for a free trial, go to squarespace.com with no credit card needed to try it out, build your website. And if you decide to purchase it, you can get 10% off by using the code EAST. That's EAST. So yeah, try out squarespace.com today.
All right, I'll go ahead and start. I've got a Nordstrom sweatshirt on and a Hanes t-shirt. I don't even know the brand of the pants that I have on. Roger, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a flannel from O'Neill. I have a Doctor Who and TARDIS crashing into the DeLorean from Back to the Future. I think the shirt was printed on American Apparel, and I'm wearing some generic sweats, and I have socks that are made from another generic manufacturer.
Scott?
Sorry.
Oh, I love his outfit. It's not going to beat mine.
I'm wearing a Plantronics headset as well. That's part of what I'm wearing.
I'm wearing Sony headphones, but I'm also wearing a 500th special edition Coverville t-shirt from Coverville.com. I believe Hanes is the original designer. Mm. And I also am wearing a pair of, these are Adidas shorts. I'm very comfortable in shorts, even though it's freezing here. And I'm wearing a pair of Vans that I enjoy to wear.
Oh, I have REI wool socks on, but I don't have any shoes.
Mm.
This may seem boring to you, those of you enjoying East Meets West right now, but this is what they do for 2 hours before award shows.
Yes, yeah. Which is why I don't watch TV at all during award shows days, maybe in the morning, but typically around noon. I mean, if it's not directly the channel that's hosting the award show, you'll get it on a news, you know, like an adjacent channel where they do, like, you know, who's wearing what, who's with who. And it's, I don't know, it's a lot of pointless filler in my opinion.
I did spend the weekend rebuilding databases and migrating a few domains to a new web host. But in between that, I had a chance to keep tabs on the late night battle. Leo and Patrick Beja and John Dvorak were talking about this a little bit in the post show on Twit. For anybody following along in the live show, are you interested in this? Is it in the drama of Conan and Jay?
You know why too, Tom.
Why is that, Roger?
Because I was slated to see Mr. O'Brien tonight, actually this afternoon, in San Francisco as part of the Sketch Comedy Fest. He canceled.
Oh.
He canceled.
Well, he postponed. He canceled. Because they won't give you your money back, right? They said, we're going to reschedule this for later.
And why don't you reschedule that money back into my bank account, you schmucks? I'm seriously. I mean, fine, you got some other business to do. You're going to, you know, he's not done whining about not getting the Tonight Show where he wants it. But give me my money back. Seriously, if you're not going to be part of the show, at least, you know, have
But he's still coming. It's just like, you know, if you paid for a concert and they're like, hey, it's not going to be on February 2nd. It's going to be on February 9th. That long.
All right.
Okay.
That's the greatest thing I've heard all week.
Comparing Conan in that respect.
To the second coming of Christ. That is the funniest thing I've heard in weeks.
Just wait for the second coming of Conan, and your ticket will still be good.
Oh, Roger, you are my master now. Okay, listen, can I say something about this?
Yeah, of course.
Big fan of this whole controversy. I'm a longtime Letterman fan. If you ask me, Letterman's always kind of been the guy for me. Just his sense of humor, his sensibilities, always been kind of my preference. I really enjoyed Conan during the late night spot, though. I thought that was great. But I kind of have this spot for Letterman because back in high school, every night I was staying up way too late watching Letterman every night. And I even wore like, whenever I had to wear a suit, I'd wear sneakers like he did. I mean, I was a total Letterman nerd. And just loved the guy. I thought he was awesome. Well, as time goes on, and all this stuff kind of kicks in and starts happening, the thing I've noticed the most is all this kind of vitriolic anger and hatred towards Jay Leno. I am not a huge Leno fan as an entertainer. I don't think he's that funny. He just isn't my style. But I feel like he's getting a little bit screwed in this deal.
It's not even really, his...
It's not his problem. It's not his mistake. I mean, yeah, his show kind of sucks, but that isn't all on him anyway. And it isn't like he's behind the scenes sort of orchestrating this horrible uprising.
Exactly.
I sort of agree with you. I come from the same background. I was a big Letterman fan. In fact, my senior year in high school, our yearbook was themed late night with Greenville High School because me and another guy working on it were such huge Letterman fans. Yeah. Letterman has been very vitriolic about this from the outside, blaming Jay. And so at first I was like, yeah, it's not really Jay's fault. What is Jay doing? But I guess from a certain perspective, you could look at it and say, well, Conan is saying, look, I won't do this to the Tonight Show. I don't want to move the Tonight Show a half hour later. And so I'm taking a stand. Jay could do the same thing and say, look, I don't want to do this to the Tonight Show. I don't want to come in at 11:30 and push the Tonight Show back a half hour, but he's not.
Well, you know what? You don't want to get in the situation where it's a he said, you know, I'm going to do this. It's something that, I don't know, on one hand, it's immensely funny to see it, all this dirty laundry aired in public. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I had sympathy for Conan initially, but, you know, the third night, the fourth night where half his monologue is taking pot shots at NBC with the same jokes over and over and over. Yeah, I get it. All right. You're getting screwed. You're not getting your time slot. You hate NBC. It's like, I mean, how much whining can you do before you're done? Honestly,
what would be great to me is if they chuck everybody, they just clean house, say this is ridiculous, we're done, we're cutting everybody loose, and they just do that insult comic dog thing for an hour at like 11:30 at night. Do that. Be done with late night TV. Just throw that in there.
You know what? I think you got the right idea, Scott. NBC executives, please listen up. I know I'm a CBS employee, but here's a free one based on Scott Johnson. Move Jay Leno back to 11:30, give him the Tonight Show, and have Insult the Comic Dog take over the 10 o'clock spot every night. You'll double your ratings.
I just don't get why they did. I mean, I know NBC had some reasons, but why did they do this in the first place? Leno was going to retire. If he was going to retire, that's one thing, but he wasn't. He was just swapping spots for a show where we didn't have a desk. Instead, he just sat there.
NBC, the way I understand this, NBC wanted to save money in their primetime lineup. A lot of those drama, cop dramas, the CSI, you know, Law and Order, stuff like that, costs a lot of money to produce. So if you can have AAA content at a quarter of the cost, or even an eighth of the cost, wouldn't you do it, right? You could basically replace one of these CSIs. I mean, I don't know how many iterations there are anymore. And you basically put the Leno show on. And if you garnered the same ratings, you do it at a much reduced overhead. You don't have to.
Well, CSI is a CBS show, so that doesn't help NBC out at all.
Well,
but
whatever NBC has.
The other thing to keep in mind here is that in a way to keep Conan, they promised Conan the Tonight Show 5 years ago. So it was a really weird thing to do because they didn't want to lose Conan. They were afraid that Conan was going to jump to another network, possibly Fox, possibly CBS. And so they said, look, stick with us 5 years. We'll give you the Tonight Show and we'll move Jay out of there. So Jay had a death sentence on his head for 5 years, right? And so when the fifth year hit and they realized, well, shoot, Jay's actually doing really good, but we've done this stupid thing where we promised Conan the Tonight Show 5 years ago. All right. Let's put Jay at 10. That way we get to keep him, and we'll have Conan take over the Tonight Show, and everybody wins. And it saves us all the money, like you're talking about, Roger. But then that turned out to be a failure because nobody wants to watch the Tonight Show at 10 o'clock, except maybe some Jay Leno fans. So that didn't get the ratings it won. Conan didn't get the ratings that Jay had had because he hasn't had time to build up the audience. Jay had horrible ratings when he took over from Carson. It took a while to build up. Conan does have better ratings than he had when he was on Late Night with Conan O'Brien because he's in the earlier time slot. It's all on track. The only stupid thing is that 5 years ago, they made this decision that they are hamstrung by. And now, because the 10 o'clock thing didn't work out, they're like, oh, crap, what do we do now? Let's shove Jay back to 11:30 and move the Tonight Show, a gem of television history, from Steve Allen through Jack Parr through Johnny Carson through Jay Leno, and we'll just shove that back a half hour. Well, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you're missing one important equation. Up until recently, NBC was run by GE. Now it's run by Comcast.
Well, it's not run by Comcast yet. It's not. Comcast has not taken over. It's still run by GE.
But I think it's just a pure dollars issue. It's just they wanted to spend the least amount and hopefully garner.
If they wanted to spend the least amount,
NBC has become. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say, if they want to spend the least amount, they should never have promised anything to Jay Leno. Cut him loose. Give the show to Conan. Done.
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago. That's a long time.
Well, don't make decisions 5 years in advance either.
NBC has become the Vic Mackey. They've kind of like dug themselves in a hole and they keep doing things to patch that hole. The hole being promising Conan the spot, or Conan, not Conan. Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the O'Brien.
Get the governor, he's almost up with his term, get him in there. But anyway, all I'm saying is like they keep just like, okay, well then we'll put him at the 10 o'clock and that'll work because everyone loves Jay. Oh crap, that didn't work out. What are we going to do now? And they're just scrambling like Vic Mackey till the very end, man. And I don't know why, but this totally feels allegorical to the Shield for some odd weird, you know, I realize it's a bit of a stretch, but it feels that way to me.
It's an interesting point, Roger, you bring up. The Comcast is going to be taking this over because essentially what, if I, you know, just from the little I know, what I expect to happen is that they'll come in, they'll merge NBC with G4. It'll be called G4 NBC for a while. And then they'll roll it back to just be G4. And they'll cancel all the NBC shows.
I'm expecting crappier shows in the next couple of years from a Comcast NBC.
Well, they don't have far to go because... You know, there's shows now that I would label.
You say that now, but then they come out with some really bizarre, inane game show / reality show / cop drama, and you're just gonna go crazy.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
I do not think actually that NBC is gonna change that much because it's not like when GE took over, NBC changed that much. I mean, NBC has a huge staff of executives have been there for a long time. Comcast takes over. NBC is going to take over a lot of Comcast as much as Comcast has taken over NBC. It's not, I joke about the parallels between Comcast taking over a network and when Comcast took over Tech TV, but that was a whole different thing. Tech TV was one network. NBC Universal is a huge company. And Comcast's broadcast division is actually fairly small. They have G4, they have E, they have the Comcast Sports Networks. Compared to NBC Universal, it's tiny. And in essence, probably what's going to happen is NBC Universal gets bought, and then Comcast says, great, all of our broadcast stuff is now part of NBC Universal. You guys are the experts. Go do what you do with some minor modifications. I think those minor modifications...
Late Night with Olivia Munn, is that the idea?
I think what you'll see is them having to push Comcast products possibly in subtle ways here and there.
Sponsored and by Comcast.
Not just internet and cable, because that would be too obvious, but cross promotion with the other networks. You already see that between Bravo and USA and NBC and all that stuff. You'll see more of that. Comcast Sports Network will become a huge part of NBC Sports.
Do you guys feel like this is a lot? There's some parallels here, or not even parallels, but it seems to me like this is the worst thing that NBC has gone through since probably the quiz show controversies of the 50s. Like, I outside of, like, you know, strikes and stuff, which kind of affects everybody, it seems like NBC hasn't had this kind of heat since then, you know?
They had some really bad heat in the early 80s when their ratings were in the toilet. That was the Eddie Murphy years on Saturday Night Live. But it wasn't as bad as this. But I don't know. I think the Letterman thing when Carson left and they gave Leno the spot, I think that was as bad or worse than this in some ways. But the rest of the network wasn't as bad shape. So it's maybe a little bit of a perfect storm here.
We'll see what happens in the next few months. And if Conan happens to pop his head up on a competing rival network doing a late show talk show.
Or online, a bunch of people are saying he should just go to YouTube. Google's got deep pockets. They could fund something, make the first big web hit.
Are either show, either Conan's or The Tonight Show, and I doubt Jay's new show, but are any of these nominated tonight in the Golden Globes for like the variety stuff? I wonder if they're in there.
Let me see. Yeah, good question. Motion picture, best performance, motion picture, feature film, language film, motion picture.
That's good TV.
Motion picture, drama.
Just tell us when you find it.
It's good radio. Comedy or musical? Does comedy or musical count?
No.
Nope. Nope.
I got a comment on the blog at subbrilliant.com/EMW from Eric, or Tilda Eric, regarding Lost's definite end day. We talked about that last week. There's talk of ABC producing a spinoff with or without the series creators. He finds it hard to imagine a scenario in which that is a good idea. So let's finish up with this. The idea being that they would be on a different island, or maybe not an island, but it would be none of the original cast. It'd be a different story, but in the same universe. Whoa. Good idea, bad idea? Flash forward's in the same universe, so could be a good idea if it was that separate, I suppose.
Well, we know this. If they do something like that, they're going to pass production duties to somebody else, too, because that whole crew is moving on to the Stephen King Dark Tower series and making a film out of that, and they're going to devote a lot of time to that. So if they have something in the bucket right away, it's not even going to be the same people. So I guess I could kind of see them doing that. Like, all right, we're going to give this to our B team, and they've got this new spinoff show, and we're going to do, like, you know, Star Trek and a half a dozen other shows that always have spinoffs. I think it's a terrible idea, and I really hope they don't do it. I want this thing to be neatly sewn up this year, however they do it, and I want to be able to look back on those six seasons and go, that was awesome. It was a time in TV that was unique and interesting. Those guys are, you know, amazing, and let's see what they do next that's totally different than this. That's what I would prefer.
I don't watch Lost. I don't know.
But would you watch a spinoff?
Depends. Would it be called Found?
Maybe. No, it'd be called Enos. Enos. No, wait. Flo. No, wait. It'd be called... I'm trying to think of all the dumb spinoffs.
After Lost.
Lost the Next Generation.
Joey Terry Lost.
Yeah.
How about the Lost Generation?
Oh, I was excited about MASH after MASH. I actually watched that back in the day when it came out.
I was super excited about after MASH at the time because I didn't want MASH to end. And then I realized, no, it should have just ended very quickly. Yeah.
So bad.
That, you know, spinoffs can go either way. You can have your Frasers, you can have your Rhodas, but you can also have your after MASHes and your Joeys.
No, you could also have the, what was the spinoff from Three's Company? Three's a Crowd and the Ropers.
The Ropers, yeah. Everybody thought, Ropers are really funny. Like a whole show.
They could do like Dukes of Hazzard and replace Bo and Luke with Coy and Vance in the last like two seasons and just bury the thing. Right. That's what they should do.
Not a spinoff, just a slow,
anguishy death.
Yeah, anguishing death. All right, well, we got to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. Thanks to Jammer Bee for producing, and happy birthday, Jammer Bee. Thanks to the Twit Live Network for letting us do this live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Scott Johnson, thanks for joining us. Let folks know where they can find more of your stuff online.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure being here. Good to see both of you guys. People can find me, find out what's going on at Frog Pants Studios at frogpants.com. There's a list of all the shows that are happening, the webcomics and all that that's connected there. It's frogpants.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/extralife.
Cool. All right. We'll see you later, folks. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
Adios.
Bye.